Hi, this is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries. What you're about to listen to is an episode of The Next Step with Father Vazquez. We produce these shows every week for a vast audience, which includes those who are searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, the disenfranchised members of the church community, and of course the neophyte, those who are searching for truths in ancient orthodoxy. These broadcasts are available every week, free of charge, either as a podcast on Apple iTunes or on the internet at epostle.net, Apostolic Evangelism for an Electronic World. Whether you're listening on CD, over the internet, or on your MP3 player, we invite you to sit back, turn up the volume, and get ready to take the next step.
Welcome to The Next Step. Hey, this is Father Vazquez welcoming you to The Next Step, a podcast dedicated to looking at life, inspecting the very fabric of our being, and doing it all through the lens of ancient Armenian Orthodoxy. Yes, The Next Step is part of the expanding vision of the In His Shoes mission and is brought to you exclusively by the good folks over at the Apostles Net. That's Apostolic Evangelism for an Expanding Universe. Hey, if you're ready, let's take the next step. Come back. Where are you going to? Oh, those footsteps should be taking me out of here. It is an inferno in Southern California, and we're just about seeing a little bit of relief. Every day, last 2 days, actually, they've been giving some hopeful figures, but still saying that this fire, this massive fire that's going on here, is going to take another couple weeks to contain. In fact, I know it's so well known that yesterday I got a call from a cousin out in Marseille, France, who on his local TV show heard the word or the city name La Crescenta. I mean, we all know about Glendale. Glendale, maybe you could hear, you've heard about it. It's close to Los Angeles, but La Crescenta is still relatively unknown until this week when it went up in flames, as did most of the area in the Angeles Forest, just a beautiful forest by us now. Well, you know, I want to say that, you know, it's tragic that it happened, but, you know, any of you who know about forest life and how the forests regenerate themselves know that this is almost like a necessary evil in forests, that, you know, there has to be some burning taking place for, you know, things to grow, later on to grow, so that the seeds can find their way back down to the ground. But, of course, the big tragedy is when, of course, human life is being sacrificed, and two very, very valiant, brave firefighters went down in this one, trying to protect the people that they served. And of course, along with that, many structures were destroyed and continue to be destroyed. I mean, I think we're still looking at about 10 days before it gets contained. And the smoke, the atmosphere around us is just horrible. I mean, you know, there were a couple days where you could look up at the sun. You could actually look at the sun because the smoke was so dense that it was just barely visible. Or you could look up at the moon and just see this incredible cloud formation around it. Just an eerie color. And this morning I thought I'd take my normal walk. I hadn't been taking it for last 4 or 5 days because the air was so heavy. This morning I thought I'd take it. Did 2 miles, and I gotta tell you, it started hurting my chest. So there's still a lot of smoke going on, there's still a lot of fire going on, and we can only pray and hope that this too shall pass, they say. Well, we could hope that it passes a little bit faster. It is just very, very deadly on many levels. And, you know, we're going to draw some analogies there too. Yes, out of this tragedy, you do find opportunities for spiritual growth as well. And if you can do that, then maybe those tragedies find a new meaning, a new purpose in your life. So we'll be talking about that in a few minutes as well. We've got Labor Day coming up this weekend, and it is a time for a lot of recreation here in the United States, but it also gives us an opportunity to reflect about our labor, about our work. Why do you work? Some people do it for money. Some people do it for different ideals and goals. Some people don't do it without purpose. I don't know why you do it, but we'll talk about what that labor is all about and the spiritual dimension to our work. Yes, the pursuit of happiness, they say. Well, believe it or not, that is very, very spiritual in essence and, of course, in practicality as well. And of course, we've got Ani coming back with her bubbles today. She's going to be actually doing a bubble about George Mardikian, a giant among the Armenian communities back in the 1950s and 1960s. A real giant, actually, in the community. And he's written an essay that just surfaced recently, and Ani's going to share that with us as well. We've got some thoughts about Teddy Kennedy and his final days, laying him to rest at Arlington, gave a chance for reflection, a chance for pause. And, well, a lot to talk about today. I'm just glad you're with us today. You know, I know the viral nature of the internet. I appreciate all of you who are on board for the first time, and even more, I appreciate all of you who have been forwarding these links, forwarding this podcast to your friends. So for all of you that are on board for the first time, welcome to your first steps. For all of you who've been around, welcome next steppers back. We've got some exciting news about our ministry. Starting next Monday, we are going to kick it off with a daily podcast beginning on September 7th. And then on September 9th, yes, 999, we're turning the devil over. No more 666. We're going to go with 999. We're going to start Bible study and streaming right on Ustream. Opportunity for you to join wherever you are to our regular Bible study that takes place in Glendale. So a lot of good stuff coming up, a lot of things to share. And I'm going to kick it off with our song for the day today. And yesterday I had a great chance to take a trip to Arizona, get away from the smoke of Southern California. Went with my sons Varujan and Christopher, two of the three. And we had a chance to be joined en route with some great music in our CD player, Kim Kashkashian. Yes, do not mistaken this with other Kims of various Kashkashian Kardashian names. This is Kim Kashkashian playing viola along with Robert Levine on piano. And this comes from an album called Songs from Spain and Argentina. Actually, it's kind of a cute little number. Listen to the breathing. It's interesting. Thank you. Kim Kashkashian and Robert Levine from an album called Songs from Spain and Argentina. And this album is just about available anywhere good music is available. So check it out. A lot of interesting use of tones and breathing. As I said, listen to the breathing. You can catch some of it. Interesting in some of the other tracks too, how she uses that and brings that in. She talks in the album notes a little bit about her father and how much he enjoyed singing ancient songs, Armenian folk medleys. And maybe it's a little reflection of that, but interestingly enough, she makes some philosophical comments about song. Let me share that with you. It's from the album notes. She says, "Song, with or without words, is the most potent of cures. Song allows the spirit to fly in lonely exploration, yet it provides the most diverse of spirits, the vehicle of union. If we are all groping in the dark toward a faintly sensed light, then anything that brings us closer to that light is a boon. When I look back at my work and when I imagine future forms of that work, for that work, the one certainty is song." And this, of course, Kim Kashkashian. And interesting. Check it out. Really worth the listen. And when she talks about the faintly sensed light, it just occurred to me that, you know, yeah, for a lot of people, that light is off over there. And for us in the Next Step movement, when we talk about Armadoxy, it's the beginning of really what we discuss over here, this entire idea of light. It's a reoccurring theme, and certainly inside of Armenian tradition that, well, the word Arev, for instance, the sun, it starts off with that Ar, which is the light, and Arpi, for instance, the name Arpi. And, well, this in itself is an entire philosophy and definitely worth our looking into. We will get to it. I promised you so much stuff, and this is really one of the beautiful things about this podcast. I get to talk about just about everything, and it all comes together. You know, that's what's really interesting. You know, last week when we were looking at the fires, we were sitting in our backyard in Pasadena and kind of looking up at the hills, anticipating how quick it would spread. And, you know, of course, like everyone else, worried about the imminent danger to ourselves and to our family. And, you know, very apprehensive. It was a very scary few days, and we're not out of the woods yet. But we're hearing very optimistic numbers and hopeful numbers within the next couple weeks. These forest fires here in the Los Angeles area are going to be contained. But as I was looking up at the hills, it was a very interesting phenomenon that was taking place because we were watching the flames go from one small hill to the next hill. You were actually seeing, you know, they were talking about 80-foot flames. You know, what is that, like 8-story building? That's how tall the flames were. And we were watching it as it was reaching out. You know, it would like jump from one small hill to the next, and all of a sudden the next hill would be on fire. And it was interesting because there were very few small patches of green grass. And of course, the flames didn't dare touch the green grass. They were going right after the fuel, the old withered away plants, the dry plants, the ones that were just excellent for burning, right? And isn't that the case in our spiritual life as well? The analogy was so clear in my mind, at least, that, you know, when you look at a hill like that, you see how they jump from one hill to the next. That's what sin is. You know, the evil really looks for those dry patches. It doesn't dare touch the green patches, the green areas that have been watered. That's why Jesus so many times refers to the children as this purity. Well, children are green. They haven't been withered away. They haven't been scorched so that their essence is pure. And evil cannot touch them. But evil goes and it looks for those dry patches where there is fuel. And when your heart is dry, when you yourself are dry, and you realize that, you know, you have hatred, you have envy, you have lust, you have all of these feelings that many times we categorize as the deadly sins. Well, why do we categorize it like that? Because those are the areas that fuel the fire. Those are the areas where sin finds just a very, very comfortable place to lodge and really grow. And you look in your lives, the difficulties that you have begin with these negative feelings, with these feelings of anger, of jealousy, of hatred. These are just the brushes. These are the bushes that are ready to be set to flame. Of course, when the flame is coming, you know, when you're looking up at that hill and you're seeing the big wall of fire, it's going to jump to the next fertile area. It's not going to look for the green area. It's going to look for what is fertile for itself, which is the dry timbers, which is that wood that's just been sitting there for years, if not decades, collecting dust. And in fact, the wood is so old that it's ready to be crinkled apart. You go touch it and it breaks apart. You put a match to it and is ready to be flamed. The oil has all come to the surface, so even the oil acts as a lubricant for that fire. And so too in your life, you're just sitting there and you're letting all of this negativity take control of your life. You've got this hatred, this jealousy, this anger, this lust, this gluttony. It's all around you. And sure enough, when the evil comes, it's just like a little flame. It's going to push itself, and it's going to look for a place to lodge, to say, this is where I can set up camp. This is where I can burn freely, because I've got everything. I've got the oxygen, and I've got the fuel. And that's all that's necessary. That's all that's necessary to create literally a forest fire. Literally a fire that goes out of control. And that's what happens in our lives. We allow that fuel to build up so much that it just takes one little match. It just takes one little spark and it's gone. We've lost it. We've lost what we call life. So, you know, water yourselves. Water yourselves with those things that keep you away from the dryness. That's why, again, look at the children. Children, why Jesus keeps on insisting that they are the pure ones. Yeah, sure. They haven't dried up. They haven't allowed the negativity of life to overcome them. Every day is a new adventure. Every day, you know, isn't that interesting about kids? You get upset at them. The next morning they wake up and they've forgotten about it. It's a new day for them. It's a new adventure. There is still wonder in their lives. You know, you can do the same too. Yesterday is gone. It's past. It's over. And all you really do have is today and a look at tomorrow. So just a little observation, sitting in Pasadena, looking at a hill burning, it's an opportunity for us to reflect really on the fires that are in our lives, how we can squelch them, how we can maybe prevent them. As Smokey the Bear would say, right? Speaking of Smokey, I've got another song for you. Yeah, I don't know what the tie is with Smokey the Bear, except maybe he does it. If he doesn't, at least Yogi the Bear does it. The Seven Dwarfs certainly do it. I do it. The Three Stooges probably do it. It's called work, and you work away. And what do you work for? Well, this weekend we've got a chance to look at work, look at labor, honor labor. It's called Labor Day here in the United States. And I know all kinds of cultures and societies have different ways of approaching the same subject, looking at work, honoring labor, honoring also the laborer. And that's what this is all about. So I thought I'd take a few moments and talk about that today with Labor Day coming and approaching, and certainly look at the spiritual side of our work.
Hi-ho! Hi-ho!
I think it was last week I shared with you this little incident that always seems to occur inadvertently. I always forget to phrase the question. Whenever I talk to my brother, we live on different sides of the same state. He's in Northern California, I'm in Southern California. And so whenever we talk to each other, we play this game of catch-up real quickly. You know, like, how are the kids? How's the wife? What's going on and everything? And inadvertently, I always say, you know, how's work? Meaning, like, how are things at the hospital? And he'll say, it's work. And I think that drives the point home really quickly that, yes, it is work. And it is it makes you at least focus on that word, a word that has become a necessary evil, almost a curse in our lives, right? Like, wouldn't we like to have all of the, well, what should we say, all of the pleasures that work can give us without the work? In other words, wouldn't we like to make the money without working? And I think that there's a dream there that somehow has been overly romanticized. I mean, do you know the staggering number of people? And I don't know the exact number, but I've heard it's somewhere around 70% of the people who win lotteries end up declaring bankruptcy. Sometimes even end up destitute. I mean, it's an interesting number, isn't it? It's a huge number. It's not one or two people. It's a large percentage. It's definitely more than 50%. And you think that, okay, with lottery, you become an instant millionaire. But you don't know the balance. It's like climbing up a ladder, right? You start climbing up. Well, what if the middle rungs aren't there? You start stepping on something, but there's nothing there, and you just fall straight down. We're seeing this with people who find instant popularity. This is big time right now, because of the reality TV show genre, which is exploding everywhere. There's reality shows, and these people who are just basically nothing all of a sudden become superstars. What was it, just a couple weeks ago? One of them, you know, ends up killing this woman, then runs up to Canada, hangs himself in a hotel room. I mean, tragedy upon tragedy. You keep hearing about it. Maybe it's the rungs that are missing, you know? And there are countless examples. People who make it quickly up forget about the necessary steps that you need to get up to that place. In a few minutes, we're going to be, you got to tune in for in just a few minutes when we have the Ani's Bubble. She's going to be talking about a relative giant among the Armenian community, George Mardikian. And an essay that he wrote many years ago about some very simple ethics that he had, Christian ethics that he had on the way up, and it helped him survive up at the top. That's coming up in a few minutes, but it accents, all of this accents the point of Labor Day being a time for us to really kind of inspect what we're doing with our lives. Our work life, believe it or not, dictates so much of who we are. It's not just, well, it's work. Well, you can't say it like that. You know, the work that you do defines who you are. People come up to you, who are you? What are you? You usually define yourself as, well, what am I doing? What do I do with my life? And not only does it define ourselves by what we say, or what we answer, think about where you live. Because of the work you do, you are able to afford or not afford certain type of living conditions. And those living conditions also dictate the circle of friends that you have, who's living around you, who your neighbors are, who you associate with, who you go to the market with. I mean, it's big. It's not just it's work, it is actually a part of your life, a very big piece of the puzzle, which we call life. And so, yes, it is tragic that you have to work, you have to sweat, and you have to labor over that. But in the same sense, it also defines a big part of who you are. And you think about, like, in your life right now, like, look at where you live. Look at what you wear. Look at what you drive. Who you are. Most of it has been defined by the work that you do. And in the same way, it's an opportunity, Labor Day, for us to really refocus. Refocus on what we do with the products of that work. Because, you know, the Protestant work ethic has always been there. It's a very big part of Western civilization. John Calvin coming to us and telling us that you and I live for the glory of God, and therefore every aspect of our life should be for the glory of God, including our work. Well, there's certain conditions to that work, right? You have to be industrious. You have to be honest, trustworthy. Well, what happened as work evolved, we found that by being industrious, by being that spirit of entrepreneurship, what happens is that there are certain rewards that come along with being industrious, with being honest. And those rewards feel good, don't they? Yeah, you're able to get a little bit more money. You're able to afford the things that you couldn't afford otherwise. You're able to take a few extra trips. And so all of a sudden, things get distorted. Rather than working because we need to, we work because we want to achieve what the goal of work can do. Remember last week we were talking about the upside down mortgages, right? The mortgage has more value than the house. A lot of times the work has more value than the reason it serves. It's supposed to serve your life, for you to enjoy life, for you to enjoy your family, your loved ones. Instead, that work becomes all consuming. So we do everything we can, putting in more hours. Already, as it stands, it's supposed to take up only 1/8 of your life, right? Excuse me, 1/3 of your life. 8 hours, 1/3 of your life. 24-hour day, 8 hours at work. Well, you and I know that there is very few people have that luxury of working only 1/3 of their lives. Count it in your life. Take this Labor Day. Count out how many hours you actually spend on work. And that's not just the time you go to the office, you go to your workplace, but the time that you spend in developing, in producing. Now, is this good or bad? This is up to you to decide. But what I'm asking you is take a look at it in terms of Labor Day. Like, what is the purpose? What are we doing? What are the goals? You know, the same is true in church. People come up to me many times and they say, I don't like coming to church because I don't get anything out of it. Well, isn't that just a profit-driven statement, right? I mean, it's exactly that. Why should I go to church if I don't get something? There's no profit in it. There might be something. You might find the love of your life and end up getting married. You might run into somebody who has goods and services that you can use in your business, and you start negotiating. I guess there can be profit, but for the vast majority of people who are asked to go to a church, you have to sympathize. Yes, in a very real sense, there are no profits. But that's because we're looking at life through the model of work, that work has to yield some kind of profit. And certainly going to worship has to be a bit of work, right? Because we have to discomfort ourselves. We have to go outside of our normal boundaries to participate in this worship. And therefore, because there is some discomfort in it, it must be work. And if it's work, it should yield some profit for me. And it doesn't. So you stop right there. But what am I getting at? Look at all the things that we're talking about. It's all about finding the balance in life. There are people who will work, 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 and then work on top of that work, 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 work. What? To play. So that they can have enough money so they can go and blow it on a weekend in Las Vegas. Or can take their family on a cruise and enjoy the Caribbean. I'm not looking at their motives. What I'm talking about is putting some balance in the equation. And really, Labor Day should do just that. Give you a chance to kick back for a few moments. And Labor Day is really a wonderful time because it's the end of summer. It's a relaxing time. And look and inspect, what are you doing with your life? What are those hours that you put down to work? What profit does it give you? Real sense profit. Is it something that just goes into your pocket? Or is it something that you really take and you develop a better life for yourself, a better life for your family, and definitely a better life for your community, for your world. Really, if you can do that at Labor Day, you've learned how to balance and redirect the focus of your life. As I've said many times, the Christian is constantly recreating himself. That's the meaning of recreation. The Christian should be in a constant state of recreation, not in a state of work. Recreating himself as the new man. I don't believe in this thing that you have to be born again, meaning you are born again once. You are constantly born again. As Christ enters you, you have this opportunity to relive, to begin again. And every day is a new opportunity for that new life. Certainly Labor Day is just one opportunity to focus in on, well, labor, on your work. What are you doing with your working hours? What are you doing with the labor? Is it work? Or is it some kind of enjoyment because of the fruits of that labor? And I invite you also on this Labor Day to really put some focus on priorities. You know, sometimes people come up to me and they say that, you know, like, I don't know how I'm going to make it. It's just really impossible. The financial situation right now throughout the world with this depression, recession, it's just been really, really challenging. Well, you know, ask yourself some very basic questions. Do you have a house? Well, then, you know, you're better off than like 90% of the world. Do you have shelter over your head? You're better off than like 80, 70% of the world. Sometimes people come up to me and they say, how are you doing? And I love this answer. I've been using this lately. I'm better than most, not as good as some. You know, if you look at the sum out there, yeah, there will always be people that seemingly on the outside have more than you. But you know, if you really count your blessings, and I'm not saying this in any corny sense, but if you really look at the love that you have around you, you really are blessed. You are better than the majority of the world. You do have those things. And it's just a question of priorities at that point. Do you want more because you want to, because of the greed that's in your heart? Or do you really need the more? It's a tough one. And the only person that can answer it is you. Not me, not anyone else. But Labor Day gives you that chance to really put that into focus as well. To really find out that, yeah, you are really better than most. Not as good as some. If you're listening to this podcast, it means that somehow you've connected electronically. You at least have this computer. You at least have a CD player. You're at least connecting some electronic way. Well, you know, that's better than most of the world. Now, how do you make that part of your reality? Because it's not enough to say, well, I'm better off than most of them. Remember I told you about a priest that I was talking to earlier this summer, and he said, I can't imagine calling someplace heaven if I was in a heaven and knowing that my loved ones or anyone I cared about was, or anybody for that matter, was in a place called hell. I would find it very hard to call my surroundings heaven. Knowing that someone is suffering definitely doesn't allow me to feel that I am in a heaven. Well, it's not enough to have. You get what he's saying? It's not enough to be in this good position without you looking at others and saying, you know, I need to extend my hand to those other people as well. I want to make a mention here of the prosperity gospel. I know many people have asked me about that as well. You know, and just a couple weeks ago, I think it was about 2 weeks ago, that Reverend Ike passed away. Reverend Ike was a very big fixture in the Los Angeles market, and I believe he did get some notoriety throughout the country. He was probably the king of the prosperity gospel. He was the one that started it all off. Reverend Ike would talk about, well, you know, God hates poverty. And that's a wonderful premise, isn't it? I agree with that too. God hates poverty, so get out of poverty. And in this sense, I feel like preachers of the prosperity gospel offer hope. And I don't want to make the judgment call and say that it is a false hope. But what I do want to challenge you to think about, the prosperity gospel, if you don't know, is basically believe in God and you will prosper. Materially, physically, you will have money in your pocket. Reverend Ike used to walk around with diamonds on his hands. He used to drive a fleet of Cadillacs, which, before all the European market exploded, was the prestigious, it was the symbol, the symbol of status here in America. And he would drive around and say that, look, I believe in God, and look what I have. I've got houses, I've got cars, and I've got all of this. Well, that's fine. But just like the priest who said that he wouldn't believe that it was heaven if he knew others suffered in hell, so too, I don't know how prosperous you can be in a world where there is suffering. So how do you take that prosperity? How do you distribute it to the others? That's the challenge that you have on this Labor Day as well. To be able to take your work and make that good balance of having enough for yourself and having enough for others, and sharing that in the bigger picture, which we call life. Well, it's time for our spiritual bubble of the day to take us up, you know, to glide us up like all those wonderful bubbles. And I'm glad Ani's back with us after a couple weeks of a vacation. And I know it wasn't a vacation, Ani, I know. It was a lot of schoolwork there, too, but I'm just glad that she's back with us. Today she's going to be doing a reading from This, I Believe. And this is something that I really invite you to check out on their website, of course, thisibelieve.org. It gives you an opportunity to see different people and the little essays that they've written. I check out their podcast all the time. I'm a subscriber, and I highly recommend it. Just some wonderful, wonderful podcasts on there. What we're going to listen to today is actually from the original radio show with the same name, hosted by Edward R. Murrow. And this particular one was written by George Mardikian. Now, back in the 50s, 60s, George Mardikian was instrumental in the settlement of many displaced persons here in the United States, particularly Armenians. And he was a great entrepreneur, a restaurant owner. Many times we'd remember him up in San Francisco, the famous restaurant called Omar Khayyam. And here's his This I Believe, of course, read by our wonderful Ani Burr.
Today's spiritual bubble is called Why I Close My Restaurant, an essay by George Mardikian, as heard on the Bob Edwards Show. Every Christmas Eve, I close my restaurant to the public. My wife and I become the hired help to serve our employees. We try to give them the finest Christmas repast. This exchange of roles is symbolic. This is an ancient Armenian custom we have introduced into our American life. Each national group has brought something of its heritage in the form of thousands of different customs, which have become integral parts of life in this country. I believe that true humility is a basic need of mankind today. Why do I believe this? Aside from the fact that Jesus Christ taught it, my own experiences seems to me a living testimony of this truth. As a young man in my native Armenia, I was organizing Boy Scout troops when the Turks and the Russians invaded the Republic of Armenia. I was captured and thrown into prison. I nearly starved to death in this time of crisis. An older and wiser inmate said to me, "Don't lose hope." He was right. For some American friends in the Near East Relief helped me to escape. They used the ruse of telling my captors that I was an American. I became an American before I became an American. Eventually, I was able to work my way to the United States. Here I was, a humble immigrant boy, crossing the Atlantic to a country that seemed to answer all my prayers for happiness and freedom. My feelings when I first saw the Statue of Liberty cannot be described. Even today, when I pass it on my frequent trips to Europe, a feeling, something like reverence, comes over me. When I entered the shower baths at Ellis Island, I found plenty of soap and water. I used them freely because it seemed to me that I was washing away all the hatreds and prejudices of the old world. As I stepped out of the shower, I came face to face with a guard in uniform. He actually smiled at me. The smile of a stranger may seem to be a fleeting, insignificant moment to others, but I remember it vividly because it set the mood for my new life. It was perhaps an omen of the joy and friendship I was to find about me. When I first arrived, I spoke very little English, and I had practically no money, but I did have enthusiasm, the will to work, and bright hopes for a new life ahead. I got on the westbound train for San Francisco. Everywhere I went, strangers were willing to help, and I felt very humble. This wonderful land has been good to me. It has given me friends by the hundreds in all walks of life. I believe that in this society where love and mutual respect are fostered and encouraged, I must do more than contribute my share towards the material and spiritual well-being of all. I believe that friendship, which grows out of love and true humility, is the most important thing in life. This has been your spiritual bubble. May it float on the wind to heaven.
Well, as Ani tells us, these are just bubbles to float up to heaven. It's, you know, like when you sit out in your patio, your backyard. I know we do this every day, don't we? And you just start blowing out those little soap bubbles. They go up to heaven. And you sometimes let your imagination go up to heaven with them. Well, that's what these are all about. Ani does this series of bubbles just to get our minds to wander off a little bit about what's really important, much in line with what we're called to do at this Labor Day, as I was talking about earlier today. And certainly this past week gave us a lot of cause for reflection when we watched the passing of the last of the Kennedy brothers. Yes, Edward Kennedy passed away and we watched the funeral. I have to tell you that I wanted to watch more of it, and especially I wanted to hear some of the speeches. Didn't get a chance to do that, but the little sections that I did see were enough to really make me remember that lost dream when President Kennedy was shot. And you know, here's a family that grew up with a lot of wealth, that had, well, when we talk about like I'm better than most, not as good as some, this would be the sum, okay? This was the family that was the sum. But something their mother instilled in them, to those who a lot is given, from them a lot is demanded, or they have a lot to do. They have a lot of obligation, responsibility. I think this has been drilled into the Kennedys, and we certainly saw that in the brothers and in the sisters. Interestingly enough, Edward Kennedy passed away just last week, and it was only 2-3 weeks before that his sister had passed away, and she was, of course, the author of the Special Olympics for children who might not otherwise have an opportunity to compete. And of course, Edward Kennedy with his career. I think what was really remarkable about that career was the changes that he went through. That back in the 60s, early 60s, you could look at him as this spoiled young kid who was getting involved in politics. But by the time that career, that 50 years had passed, and he had come to a point in his life where he was basically the spokesman for liberalism, for the Democratic Party, and he was a man of his own. Not just the younger Kennedy brother, but was Edward Kennedy. And so today I just want to also say a special prayer, not so much for the souls that have passed away, which is very important, but also for that spirit of giving, that spirit of responsibility that the Kennedy family instilled in so many of us with just a basic statement made by the president himself. Ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country, is a statement that really should be on each and every one of our souls as far as what we can do for others. It's not about getting, it's not about the profits that you're making, it's about how you can help others in their quest to life. Thank you.
the clear white sands of morning.
Oh, we hope that the ice isn't going to be thin for this new day, but beginning this Monday, September 7th, we begin a daily podcast for all of you, and I invite you to epostle.net, where you can get this. Now, these podcasts are going to be only 3 to 5 minutes long, and they're meant to just give you a little injection. They're going to be a thought of the day. Yes, it's just a small little podcast, but the beauty of this is you can subscribe just as you do right now, either on iTunes, or you could subscribe by putting in an email request at epostle.net, and you will get your daily dose of, well, the next step. But we're looking for a new name for it, and I know it's going to evolve by this Monday. We will come up with a name for it. It's going to be a small, little, itty-bitty baby step. Maybe tippy-toes, huh? Well, we'll see where we go with that. But I invite you and tell your friends about that. That's going to be the small, new next step, and it's going to be like a daily dose. And we invite you to get it. It's free of charge, like everything else, part of our ministry. And beginning next Wednesday, which is 999. Now, you got to remember, this all began when some yahoos out there started saying that the end of the world was coming on 666. That was June 6, 2006. So they were telling us that the end of the world is coming because that's the devil's number. Well, we turned that around a few years ago, and on 777, we made it the day of forgiveness, as Jesus instructs us. Before you want to talk about the end of the world, let's talk about what we're supposed to do in this world. He instructs us, forgive 77 times. So July 7th, 2007 had a great meaning. And then it was last year on August 8th, 888, when we remember the China Olympics started and when we participated in a worldwide protest because of the events taking place in Darfur and China's direct responsibility for those events, those massacres, that genocide taking place over there. One that still continues even till today. Now this year on 999, we're going to be turning the 666 around. And we're going to be starting off a series of Bible studies. And we invite you in Glendale to join us. But here's the exciting thing. Realizing that you, here on this podcast, are not in Glendale, we're going to make Ustream available to you so that you can check in. That's going to be 7:30 Pacific time. And so you really got to check out where that is in relation to your time. But 7:30 p.m. Pacific time, we will be broadcasting on Ustream these Bible studies, and you will be able to participate with your questions, with your feedback as well. Exciting time. You want to find out more about this? Check out our website, epostle.net. That's Apostolic Evangelism for an Electronic World. And of course, that's part of the bigger story, which we do at In His Shoes Ministries, inhisshoes.org. You'll find out about our young, courageous girl who had her first surgery yesterday. Her name is Miriam, and I'll let you read about her. Just a fascinating story, a story of inspiration to every one of you. And that's Armenian Orthodoxy working today. Armenian Orthodoxy is what we're about. It's called Armadoxy. Something not in the past, something not in history books, but something alive in Labor Day, in the lives of the people it touches, in the miracles that we're seeing every single day. And we're inviting you to be a participant in that. Come to our website, inhisshoes.org. Check out all of the programs that we have and get plugged in. So that brings us to the end of this podcast, and we want to invite you back next week, and of course, along the way, join us for all the other programming that we have. For Susie, our producer, who is tireless, I can't tell you that she does all this. She puts together these programs and these new programs that are coming about, and she does it with a smile on her face because she's got a faith in her heart. For Ken up in the booth, who is kind of like sneering at me, but I'll take care of him later. I have ways of making him work. for Ani, who's back on the job. Ani, glad to have you with us. Looking forward to all those new bubbles that are coming our way. This is Father Voskin inviting you before next week. Join us next Monday for the mini podcast and every day, as well as our Bible studies on Wednesday. And of course, join us next week when we will take the next step.
We trust you've enjoyed this broadcast. This episode of The Next Step, as well as all previous episodes, are available for downloading at epostle.net or at Apple's iTunes Store. To write to us with comments or questions, please direct your message to feedback@epostle.net. Your kind prayers and donations ensure the continuity of these quality broadcasts. For the production crew and all the members of the In His Shoes Ministries, this is Susie, looking forward to taking the next step with you again next week.